Thank you, Dr. Lyons, and thank you for all to come. And it is really my honor to be here. And at such a occasion, I always think about where did I come from and how I am today. And I couldn't help to think about all the people I should thank for. Foremost, I want to thank University of Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky, who allowed me to do what I think the most exciting thing is do both academic science and biotechnology science. So this is what I'm going to tell you, the story. And so what I'd like to share with you is how we go from here to 2020 and how we can have a crystal ball to look ahead what's happened in the future. And that is what we really want to know, how we're going forward. And so in order to look ahead, we look to think about where we come from. Now, the best example to share with you is the information technology. Probably all of you at least have one cell phone and one iPad. And the reads of iPhone or notebook. Now you come that way because the information technology in the last 10 years. You probably don't remember the old 8-inch floppy disk. And some of you probably think those are museum pieces. But that's where we were in 1990s. So that is where we were. And that's where we are today. Now, the front page New York Wall Street Journal news today is Yahoo just spent $1.1 billion to buy a company has 100 million clients of Tableau. Now, the reason for this sale because the database that this company owns. And the future is exactly where we're going. How can you think about the database of our genome? Can you think about the database of 3 billion human population and how rich that will be? Now, I'm going to share with you that we are in the boundary of magic. Sir Arthur C. Clarke said, advanced technology is between magic and reality. So think about that. The mystery of our genome, that's what we're going to look ahead. Now, I want to share with you, in order to reach to that genome, we first have to have curiosity. Now, Stephen Jobs, or all the people who are in the information technology, has to have a quiz of curiosity. Where we are, where we're going to be. Why can't we merge the two things together? The whole image technology and computer science. Now, that's that marriage. Now, I'm going to about to tell you the marriage between life science and information technology. Now, this lady, you are familiar, and you probably are familiar with all the news associated with Miss Angelina Jolie and her situation with the breast cancer 1-gene mutation and her really hard decision to do what she needs to do. Now, that's her because she has, according to the genetic consulting, she has 87% the risk to develop breast cancer and ovarian cancer alike. So she has gone on to do the genetic testing and the surgery. Now, what about your average Joe and average Jen? And the reason I say Joe is breast cancer gene does occur in men. So when we have this situation, what do we do? Why are we going to happen this way? what kind of fear that we get. Now, I want to share with you the real reason behind. A simple way is the mutation. There's a gene on that DNA, which is a green strain, and this gene defective, so it will not be able to get rid of the cells that damage, and that cell continue to grow, eventually grow into a tumor. And just that simple. Now, what if this kind of decision we have to make? How do we overcome the situation? What would have happened in 2020? And what do we all going to be confronted with this hard decision? Now, I want to share with you the simplistic approach and to understand. We all inherit our two copies of gene, one from our mom, one from our dad. Together, they are the blueprint of a genetic mega. Then they transcribe what we call DNA, and then this eventually produces the gene called BRCA1 gene. Then the BRCA1 gene, when it works normally, will repair a DNA damage and the cell will be fine. But when it's not repaired normally, then the cell will not be fine, as I show you. Now here I'm going to introduce to you a very mysterious molecule. About 10 years ago, we don't even know it exists in human, but now we found it really does everything. It's called microRNA, microRNA. This molecular species is dimmer switch, and you all have dimmer switch in home to control the light intensity. The microRNA does exactly that. When the microRNA makes the BRCA gene not so bright, so then it will work that way, then you will have a defective situation. Now, this is a general rule. DNA is the blueprint, RNA is the transcribed message, and then the mRNA is the message, then eventually get the protein. Now, this is hard to remember. I'm going to tell you a story. My son, when he was 6 years old, came to my office. He didn't understand DNA, RNA, protein. So he wrote, DNA don't know anything. RNA really know a little bit. And that's about what we are today. But we're going through a revolution because there's another species called microRNA. This microRNA is a dimer switch. Control the RNA, make it right where to express or not, and the protein will be dimmer or brighter. Now, in our life, we inherit our gene. In the first 2 years of our life, we have all sorts of situations happen to us. Now, in the old days, we would say, by the time you're 2 years old, everything's determined. And it's a very fatalistic approach. But the message I would like to give you today, that's not so. Even though we couldn't choose our parents, which is most of us couldn't do that, but we can change our life. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. Now, you see microRNA function all the time in our nature. Most importantly, is make things interesting. Like today, if you go out to see petunia flower, this is a great time for petunia flower. They have different color, and they have different shades, like this, what I show you here in the lily. So there's a purple gene. The purple gene, when it's fully expressed, is purple color. The microRNA would deem it eventually become white. Isn't that pretty? So this is the microRNA functioning. Now, that's a good example. But I will also share with you another important function microRNA is that's for life. In order to have life, you have to have cell death. Now you see this every fall when the leaves fall down. They have to go through a death, then the cell die, and the leaves will fall down. Now without that, you will have a real problem. And now I'm going to show you how this happening in the BRCA1 gene case. The BRCA1 gene can activate a death microRNA on a 10 panel. So when you expose, which we could not help in our environment with virus, radiation, smoking, or any other bad stuff, that activates BRCA1 gene, which activates the death microRNA, which will kill, silence the survival gene, then the cell die. That's what you really want, a damaged cell to die, then we can live. So I call death for life principle. The bottom one is when the BRCA1 gene is mutated, cannot activate the death, and the cell survival gene continue, then you have tumor. So the death principle for life is very much controlled by microRNA. Here is the airplane. You're all familiar with the airplane. Now, I want you to think about the genes are airplane. Why? Because the airplanes are controlled by the tower. The left side is the U.S. flight pattern. In any given day, there are thousands of airplanes up and down, but they're controlled by a few hubs. And you can say there are hubs in Chicago, hubs in Boston, hubs in Washington, D.C., New York City, eventually down to the West Coast, to Alaska and Canada, and to California or Caribbean or Hawaii. Now, these hubs are controlled by specific regulatory function. Now, on the right is the one microRNA control, and you can almost see the parallel between. So the same thing happening in our cell is the same thing what will happen with the flight pattern as well as, you know, your cell phone. So how many genes we have? We don't know. Exactly, probably 20,000 genes. And we have 3 billion base pair. So if you ask some biologists or molecular biologists, they would say only 1% code a gene. The other we say 1 to 2. The other say, we just say in the past, they're junk DNA. But today we know they're not junk DNA. They're the controlling part. And we have about 20,000 genes. MicroRNA. These 2,000 microRNA are your sensors. You know, sensor to the environment changes, sensors to the food that you eat, sensor to your mood, sensor to your stress. And remember, these are the, how do I call, the response sensor. Now, you do business, you have your market evaluation, you have sensor of your community, the commerce, these are our cellular sensor. Now, right now, we are going through a genetic revolution, or I call genomic revolution. In about, right now, the price to do the entire genome of a person is $5,000. And they're predicting we can bring this down to $1,000. And they're predicting this, you can go to your local Walgreens. For those of you out of country, Walgreens is a popular drugstore, or CVS, whatever, your grocery store. You can get your genome done for $1,000 to $5,000. The entire blueprint of a human gene. And but the problem here is $1,000 gene, and at present time we're predicting $1 million interpretation. So this comes to a very crucial point, is who knows how to interpret, who will know how to the tune and the genetic tone. So now I'm going to shift gear to tell you about aging. Age is the time bomb for all diseases. Even in the early onset one, it doesn't occur right at birth or shortly after birth. For the early onset occurs around mid-age. Then you follow with heart attack, you have Alzheimer's disease. Now our goal is to push this curve as far as possible to the 80s, or 90s, even 100. So we will live happy and with good, healthy life. Now here I'm showing you two sets of twins. They're monozygotic twins. That means one egg and one embryo divided into two. They should be identical. But the key is, if they were rare apart at 2 years or younger, they will be different. And I can tell you my personal experience. I have a twin nephew. When they were babies, I couldn't tell them apart. Today, they're 60 years old. I can tell them who called me, even by the phone. So they're very different. So that means our environment has a big impact on us, even as proof as you can with a monozygotic twin. And here's the two sets of twins. They're different. Now, what does all mean? What does all mean? Now, I'm going to show you a looking glass of demographic changes and lifestyle changes in the last century. As I said to you earlier, in order to know the future, you have to know the past. And I'm going to give you two examples of lifestyle changes and demographic changes in a few countries. And the reason is, if you don't know your demographic changes, you don't know your market. And you don't know what happened to the jobs. And I think the one best example is the election. Obama's success is he knows his demographic changes. And he has database so good that he can go into a specific county, know the changes in that county-specific demographic. Now, I'm going to show you the example of United States. United States on the upper left is 1900. It's a pyramid. By the 1999, it's become rectangular. Means the shrinking of younger generation and a top increase. And by the time 2012, you will already have this demographic changes to push to the top. And with a specific star show, the extreme older people, and this bulging of the 80-year-old eventually will lead to the United States current healthcare situation, which is tsunami of the elderly healthcare. It's not composed just the baby boomer and the post-baby boomer and the older people. So imagine the health care in this whole sector. Now, what about the other country? I use four as example: Germany, Japan, China, and India. Germany and Japan are pretty similar. In other words, in post-war, they have two waves. In the 35 to 45, eventually 65, and the shrinking of the bottom of 35 and younger. This shrinking probably, I surmise, that is the underlying cause to the economic growth and the problem in the last 5 years in Europe and Japan. So remember, this is very important. Now, this is India. India population still at the time of 1900 United States in a very pyramid with very, very big population, younger generation. This is China. China has three waves, interesting. You have the high teens to 25 to 30, and then you have 35 to 45, then you have 50 and above. These three waves of the population bulge is really interesting. Even though overall Chinese population and Indian population is pretty much high up, 1.3 versus 1 billion. But this pattern is different. And so if I put the four populations together, you see how different they are. Now, why we want to know all this? I'm here using China as example. China, with the three waves or four waves, the top bulging of 65 and older, you have increased cancer and dementia. And then if you have the next age bracket, you have increased hypertension, which is high blood pressure and leading to heart attack. Then you have the diabetes. Then the next one, you have increased incidence of stress. Anytime you doubt this, reach last Saturday Wall Street Journal will tell you all the facts. And then you have finally the young childhood obesity. Now this is what really hit China right now from a demographic point of view. How that interpret to the healthcare, how that interpret to the market share, I leave up to you to imagine. So the risk here is childhood obesity leads to life stress, leads to diabetes and dementia and cancer. So what all this all about? How do we get old? And old is, now, one time one person told us, oh, getting old is for the bird. This is a hard business. So now you want to have getting old in the normal situation, but a lot of times it doesn't. Getting old is a lot of mild cognitive impair and eventually lead to Alzheimer's disease. Now let me just share with you what happened in Alzheimer's disease. It's increasingly showing that Alzheimer's disease doesn't get started in 65. Unfortunately, it starts at midlife, middle age. And this middle age changes is probably the underlying problem for the old age. Now, this is a study by British to have worked on about 5,000 men and 2,000 women of British civil worker. And they find the cognitive impairment start at middle age, like your memory, like your semantic communication, and all that. The only thing that is increased is number of words you remember. Now that is at 45, but even that is diminished. So what we want to take home message is what happens in old age starts very, very long before that. And so here's the below surface changes, and you don't know it until it hits you 25 years later. And what happened is we pay so much attention to plaques and tangles in the brain. That's a tombstone. So far, if you talk about AD market per year, it's $19 million by the time 2015 comes. And in United States, per year expense cost for Alzheimer's care is $203 billion. And we are increased deaths 68% between 2000 and 2010. So this is the fastest growing problem in the United States. Now it will come to Asia. By the time 2050 comes, most Alzheimer's disease, 50% will be in Japan, in China and India. So this is not exclusive to only United States. This is worldwide. As demographic changes, you will have this problem. So our company, as I said to you, you have allowed me to establish company to deal with the problem right now. There's no inexpensive diagnosis for Alzheimer's, no drug to reverse the course. So our company is trying to deal with this two problem by have blood tests and have animal model. If you're interested to know this, you can come to the afternoon session today and tomorrow. I'll tell you more in detail. So can we predict microRNA changes? And my answer is yes, we can. Now, I borrowed this term from Obama. Yes, we can. So we have hope in the future. For example, here, we have shown Alzheimer's disease blood tests can be worked to detect changes from normal to mild cognitive impaired to mild Alzheimer's, eventually to severe. And what I really want to give you the take-home message is this whole test can be digitized. Now, you can have a doctor's office give you a blood test. Eventually, that blood test digitized and send into computer network and eventually go into the client. So, and in 2014 or 15 and 16, you may want to know your loved one's digitized AD index by the blood sample. And remember, you could just dial in and then your iPad will tell you or your iPhone will tell you. Now, how does microRNA do it? Is what we can do is microRNA, as I said earlier, is sensor. And the sensor is because the oxidative stress in our body and in our environment. We live in an aerobic environment. So the cost of living here is what you lose by having the oxidative process in your body. So how do we prevent the oxidative stress? How we reduce these microRNA changes? And this is where I want to show you that eventually, with our genome, and everybody's genome can be sequenced, they can put it in the pipeline, and what we in our world call cloud computing. And then, from your personal point of view, you can access this genome from your iPad, from your desktop, from your notebook. So these are what I call earlier information technology merge with health science. Thank you. And what I would like to share with you is, can I do something? I didn't choose my parents well. I did not know microRNA exists 10 years ago. What can I do? And I tell you, yes, we can again. Well, somebody asked me, how do I live long? How can I have healthy life? I said, well, first you choose your parents well, but since I couldn't, so how do I do? Well, interesting enough, there's enough work on people who live long or people who live long and healthy, and they dissect their diet, so we call them Mediterranean diet. For those of you us who are from Asia, we also have some kind of similar diet. For example, Okinawa is Japanese, traditionally known to live long. And most of this, I would say, eat French bread and dark chocolate, and red wine. And Dr. Lyons and I have been joking about bourbon beer. What if we have some good things to put in bourbon beer? Then I have my beer and eat it too, okay? And then extra virgin oil, okay? Now, for cooking, extra virgin oil is always delicious. And then fish and nuts, okay? Nuts. I don't mean people nuts. And then I think the low red meat. So this is sort of general dietary recommendation. Now, if you and I, in my age, we have comfort food problem. So what if I like to eat my comfort food? For me, it's Chinese noodle soup. So what do I do? Maybe afterwards I go have some bourbon beer with some DHA in there. That will come yin yang effect. So here, and I really mean it, that nutrition in a long-term way may be the way to prevent it, and that will activate our good microRNA coming up and suppress the bad microRNA. And so we do have a light at the end of the tunnel, so I want to give you the message, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And today, our personal problem with the AD is we don't have diagnostic, we don't have drug, and we are facing the $1,000 by $1 million interpretation. But 2013 will be different. That we all have, 2020, we may all have our genome, and may we all know what should I eat to slow down that cognitive decline, and what I should look in my iPad, what kind of microRNA is activated, bad one. Now, how do I eat something to suppress that? And for Ms. Angelina Jolie's case, we may change the whole landscape from 2013 reality is to have the BRCA test and have invasive surgical intervention and follow up some of them with chemo and radiotherapy. To me, this is really hard, reality-wise. So we want to have 2020's dream for not only Angelina Jolie's children and us and everybody to have a nutritional intervention to prevent the bad microRNA come in. So then we could slow down that curve to lead to the breast cancer. And so what I want to leave you is my dream, and I'd like to share with you too, that by 2020, we may be able to have $2 access to know our risk factor. And like you go to Google for your genome bank and know your risk factor. Now, have I said this without some kind of belief? In 1962, when I entered to college, there were two books published. And it's a fun book to read if you can read it. I'm not advertising for Amazon.com, but they are fun books to read. You can find in local library. One is by Arthur C. Clarke. And he said there is, as I said already, advanced technology is borderline magic. What I'm telling you in the last 10 or 20 minutes may be a magic for 2013, but it may be reality in 2020. Now, in 1990, we would never think about iPad technology, iPhone technology, or Google. But today is reality. Now, the other principle is also very important. I shared with some people yesterday about paradigm shift. In our human history, there's always paradigm shift. And this apply in Wall Street, this apply in biology. Paradigm shift means when you go into a different direction, everybody's in that way, you're here. Now you have to be ambitious enough to say, there must be another way to do things. Okay, one real good example is I physically experienced when I first get into biology, we think DNA makes RNA. And during the 70s, there's idea about RNA make DNA. And the person who discovered this got so depressed, he has to go to Taiwan to escape the criticism, say, this is heresy, RNA to make DNA. But today, we take it for granted. We risk transcriptase. Without that, we would not have the PCR machine. Without that, we would not have the today's genetic engineering. There are many other situations about paradigm shift. This too, if you read them about 1962 book, you will be successful in your 2013 market change and will predict the future. So with that, I will share with you, if you take an apple a day, we all know take an apple a day, keep the doctors away, but today we know more. And what if we take a plate of good fish and red wine and so on? Now, even better, if Dr. Lawrence can come the magic bullet, then we can drink our beer and have our microRNA activated to overcome or combat the bad microRNA we cannot control. With that, I want to give you the thanks to all the people who have supported me, and most importantly, for University of Louisville, who has allowed me to go into entrepreneurship. And these are the people who have been helping me, and I will say thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Come on out here. How long has it been since we actually first identified a microRNA?
I think it was during the 2000 period,
okay.
Just about 2000. Before that, we always know there's something called sense RNA in the plants, but no, in biology, we're very separate from molecular biology, from animal biology, then it's probably 2000.
And how many of them do you anticipate being identified? Because they're basically a dimmer switch, you were saying.
Right. Right now, about 2000, and I don't think we'll go into more than, now this is just estimate, more than 4,000 to 5,000, because you really don't need that many control tower.
Yes.
For that many airplanes.
Okay.
So you just think about the analogy of control tower versus individual airplane.
Okay.
So you want to have efficient microRNA as control tower. And the other thing, microRNA is very versatile. So just think about the Chicago tower can all of a sudden control the West Coast. And in emergency, all the control tower can change their role.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think.
Okay, there's probably some expectant mothers out there. What would you say to them? Because it's early on that they need to consider these dimmer switches.
Right. I would say to them, like what my mom used to say, you know, old wives' tale is not always bad. My mom would say, look at pretty picture, calm, and eat well.
Look at a pretty picture,
Be calm, and eat well.
You haven't been married to me for 40 years.
No, I have been married to somebody, and my husband's sitting in the audience,
yeah.
And he's my calming effect.
Is he?
Yeah.
And your husband's calming effect, I talked to him earlier, is bourbon barrel ale.
Well, that is true. That is very true.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. Calm, eating well, look at pretty picture, mom's statement.
Okay.
And that will probably suppress bad microRNA.
Okay.
And eventually when you have the baby, it's the same principle apply.
Okay. Shall we rise and give her a vote of appreciation?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you.